Hello and welcome to this IDP podcast, which is part of a series on how development professionals in schools are coping with the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. Today I'm delighted to be joined by Simon Lowell. Simon has over two decades of experience in the schools development and university sector in development. He is Foundation Director of Marlborough College. Today, Simon's going to be sharing some of his experience over the last couple of decades, but specifically what he's been doing now in terms of innovating and trying new things and adapting his strategy. So can I just start, Simon, just by asking generally how Marlborough has actually responded to the COVID-19 pandemic?
Hello, Jo. What strange times we're in. So the school, I guess the school responded in three main ways, like a lot of schools. So none has necessarily been new. We became a virtual school at the end of last term. So all teaching as far as possible went online, and parents have been really positive and supportive about that. So that shift actually has gone quite well, and that will continue into next term. The second thing we did was reduce our fees for next term. I know something a lot of schools have been thinking about. But we also, and this point might go against most of what I'm going to say in the rest of the podcast, but we did ask parents to consider paying the full fees so that there's the gap between the full fee and the reduced fee we were actually asking for was then put into a parental hardship fund to help those parents who would be struggling financially due to the crisis. And so far we've raised £100,000 from parents for that hardship fund, which will be matched by the college. And then finally, like many schools, we've been supporting the local community. So really important that this is something that we do, but I think that parents, alumni and donors are keen to see schools reaching out to their local communities. So we have donated surplus food to local charities, to care homes. We have offered our medical facilities and equipment. We've set up an online wellbeing page with all sorts of resources for people. Our head of DT has been making face shields for frontline doctors and nurses. I have no idea how you make a face shield, but he can. So lots of different things. And actually the development office and myself have been leading or coordinating, I should say, a lot of that activity, which I think is a useful role for development officers at this time alongside everything else.
And what have your immediate priorities been from a development perspective?
So I've probably covered most of them because we've been supporting the local community, as I said. We've been working with, you know, the master and the finance director on the new parental hardship fund. And I guess thirdly, which is probably what we'll come on to next, is reaching out to the alumni community.
Yeah, okay. So what you're seeing is that there is still a propensity to give and a willingness to give despite the lockdown, despite the pressure from the COVID-19 pandemic. In terms of, you sound like you've adapted really quickly. What has been the biggest impact and the biggest challenges that you've experienced within your team and within your office?
I mean, just on that last point, I think, as I said, I think actually engagement is key. This isn't really the time to be fundraising. I think we're not asking alumni to give. I think there was something unique about the fact that we were reducing fees where we could softly ask some parents to consider paying the full fee. So I think that's the exception to the rule, but generally I think it's about engagement. The biggest challenge probably is not being able to meet with new potential major donors. So whilst we can adapt a lot to moving online, and I can talk more about that, I'm not convinced that a Zoom meeting is the best way for you to have a first meeting with a potential major donor. I think you get a lot from, you know, being in the same room as someone and body language and maybe showing them things you need to talk to them about. Which you don't get across so well online. So we've probably struggled there, but we have continued to stay in touch with major donors and our legacy society members through phone calls and through Zoom. So whilst we can't meet new prospects so easily online, we can definitely stay in touch with our existing donors and supporters.
And actually sort of eliciting, you know, arranging the call and arranging the Zoom meeting, what have you been reaching out with to sort of engage people to do that, to engage with you in that way?
So far we've just contacted all our major donors just to speak to them, just to, you know, reach out to them. And the same with our Legacy Society members. We have 100 Legacy Society members. And a member of my team over the last couple of weeks called all of them. A lot of them obviously will be over 70 and in the so-called vulnerable category, you know, isolating at home. So just really important, I think, just to reach out and have a chat and just keep that that engagement with your existing donors so that when this is all over, you know, you come out stronger the other side.
Yeah. And you've made it clear that, you know, now is not the time to be asking major donors, but it's the time to focus on engagement. What have you been doing differently and what are you planning to do differently over the months ahead? And how are you adapting your strategy accordingly?
Yes, I think this is the time to focus on engagement. There was a really useful report that CAF wrote in 2009 on the back of the financial crisis and the last recession. And it's got all sorts of interesting facts and figures in, but one of them talks about how in the US, some research found that in wealthy households, you know, one of the main reasons donors stopped giving was because they were no longer feeling connected to the organization. That's why I just think engagement is so important. You've got to keep these donors with you. I think it would be more difficult for development offices who are in a very active fundraising time, which actually we're not. I've only been in post a few months. You know, we're in the very early stages of thinking about a potential campaign. So we're not actively fundraising at the moment. So in some ways for us, this is a good time to be planning, to be consulting, to be listening again, so that we then come out stronger on the other side.
Actually, there's a lot to update your community about with so much change in such a short period of time.
Yes, absolutely.
So what new activities have you tried? I mean, you've said that you're limited and you can't meet face to face, but what else have you tried and will you try?
In terms of reaching out to our alumni community, there's a lot of different things, actually. I've been quite surprised how much we can still do. So just to give you five different things we've been doing with our alumni community, we have re-energized our online community. So a lot of schools will have online communities. Ours is called MC Global Connect. A lot of them seem to have the word connect in, it seems. So we're using that more. We've set up an online business directory. So Graduate, like a lot of organizations, you know, are stepping up and they've given that away for free. For people who are members of Graduate. Other providers are available, I should say. And also alumni to alumni mentoring through that platform. So I think online communities have a bigger part to play than before. Our events program's gone online. So we now have something called Mulberryan Monday. So every 2 weeks, it's a speaker series with a prominent alumni speaking on an interesting subject. We had 70 join the first one that we ran, that's been really, really well received. So we're going to keep that going. And I know I'm quite interested by this idea. We've not tried this yet, but Magdalen College School a couple of weeks ago did an online reunion using House Party. So they had a group of 10 people just got together and had a reunion online. So that's quite interesting. Third thing we've done, we've run a survey. We were planning to do that anyway, as it happens, but actually now's a really good time. A lot of people at home, maybe some people, you know, looking for things to do. So we've done a survey and already had a 10% response rate. So I'm expecting a higher response rate than normal. Fourth thing is contacting our donors. I've already talked about that, contacting our major donors, our legacy donors. And the fifth thing, which we've not done yet, but I know other schools are looking at, is using your alumni at university, but also offering careers advice to your upper sixth. So actually at this time, the upper sixth haven't got exams now next term. So really using the time to prepare them for life after school through your alumni body. Those are just some of the things that we're doing and other schools are doing too.
Fantastic. I'm intrigued. The Monday meeting with your alumni, what was the speaker talking about to get 70 people there? That's some good going.
It was a guy called Jake Meyer, and he's a mountaineer. So he was one of the youngest people to climb all seven summits, the seven highest summits across every continent. And one of the youngest Britons to climb Everest. But actually, he was talking about his ascent of K2, which is the second highest mountain in the world, and his third attempt of that, and what he'd learned. And actually reflecting on some of the life lessons from that that could be useful in this crisis. So it was very interesting. He spoke well.
Fantastic. Who's coming up next?
Next, we've got a guy who was a former surgeon in the SAS. So he's talking about giving medical care in war zones and disaster areas. So a very different topic, but you know, equally interesting. And actually, we're trying to stay away from necessarily coronavirus talks. I think people probably want a break. So we're trying to just focus on things that are just a bit different and take people, I guess, to a different place.
Sound really good. And you mentioned surveying. What sort of things have you been asking and finding out more about?
Yes, that's been really interesting. We went through literally about a dozen iterations of our survey, honing the questions, and really focusing on what, you know, what's the alumni association for? Asking them a bit about communications, asking them quite a lot about the online community and what they're finding useful, and beginning to ask some soft questions about supporting the college, particularly supporting bursaries.
So you're using this time to try some different ways to engage your community. Mm-hmm. How do you imagine your longer term strategy is going to evolve and change as a result of what you're doing now?
Probably not the longer term strategy. We're really going to be focusing on bursary fundraising here, and I don't, that's a top priority for the school. That won't change. Arguably, in fact, there's going to be more of a need. There'll be more people needing bursaries in the future. So long term, it won't change. I'm sure short term, you know, this will have an impact on giving, which I can talk more about. And I guess it might change the way we work. I mean, it might be interesting. I think, will you see more working from home? Will you see more online offerings for your alumni community than we've been doing before? Will you see more Zoom meetings, particularly thinking about alumni and donors based overseas? So I think there might be a shift in how people work.
What else, you know, in your experience of two decades and at least one recession, what else do you anticipate will change for the sector moving forwards?
So yeah, I mentioned this CAF report, which you can look up online. I recommend people reading it from 2009, which looked at the impact of the last recession, the financial crisis on giving. And I mean, some key points from that were that the amount given fell by about 11%. I guess that's not a surprise. So people give less, people give, and people give less. The historic evidence suggests that the length and severity of a recession will impact, you know, on the levels of charitable donations. You know, this could be quite long and quite severe. So I think there will be an impact. What's interesting is I don't think all causes are affected equally. So actually giving to education, I think, remains quite stable. And I reckon that what most donors, and particularly major donors, will do is probably, if they do restrict their giving, they'll restrict it to a core bunch of charities, which mean the most to them, and you would hope that someone's school will remain in there. But that's why engagement is so important, so that you remain in that core when we come out the other side. And the other thing, for a bit of positive news, the research found that whilst charitable giving does fall during and just after a recession, that the amount does pick up in the non-recession years. So there is some resilience to charitable giving if we just hang in there.
So let me ask one more question. So you talked about coming out the other side and the importance of staying connected with your major donors in some way, shape or form, you know, during the pandemic. What do you imagine doing and prioritising as when we come out to the other side?
That's a difficult question. Who knows what the other side is going to look like? I think, you know, as soon as we're able to get out and about meeting with potential major donors again, then we will do that. And we'll continue to plan our campaign as we were planning to do. As I said, we're in quite a fortunate position in that we're a while away from launching anything publicly. I think if you've recently launched a campaign or we're in the middle of a campaign and, you know, you're actively fundraising, there's no doubt that, you know, your financial income will be hit this year, and that's going to be difficult. But really, I think it's about at the moment working within the difficult circumstances we find ourselves, and I've talked about some of the different things you can do, and engaging with as many alumni and donors as you can. I mean, one thing I haven't talked about, which we're just trialing, we're just talking to Buffalo consultants, although again, you know, other providers are available, about running a telephone campaign, an affinity campaign, so not a fundraising campaign, where we will call as many over 70 alumni, isolated vulnerable alumni as we can, using alumni who are aged 18 to 25, so who are volunteering. So we're connecting the generations of alumni at this difficult time. And again, that's just all about engagement. But the more engagement you do, I think at the moment, with all your alumni, all your donors, your major donors, your legacy society members, the stronger the engagement actually will be, that when you do come out the other side, whenever that is and whatever that looks like, then fundraising wise, you should find yourself in a stronger position, because people will feel actually more engaged than they did before.
It's about keeping that connection and involving them in what's happening. And one other thing I was going to ask, you seem to have come up with an awful lot of ideas in a short space of time. How do you do this? what's your secret, Simon?
Some things I've mentioned aren't my ideas. There's a lot of ideas out there, you know, there's a lot of schools trying a lot of different things. And I guess I'm someone who's quite creative by nature. So I like coming up with new ideas. Probably drives the teams I've led mad sometimes. But I guess this is one of those opportunities, you know, for new ideas, isn't it? This is a test lab, if you like, that we've not had before. So this, you're innovating out of necessity. There's no other option. You can't, you know, you can't carry on the same. We can't carry on having reunions at the college because we can't do them. So, you know, we have to do something different. And that's what we and a lot of schools are trying to do.
It's about playing to your strengths and being creative, allowing yourself to be creative.
Yeah, and remaining positive. I think all best fundraisers by nature are optimistic. You know, you have to be optimistic as a fundraiser, otherwise you'd probably give up quite quickly. So, you know, being creative and optimistic at this time is probably a helpful characteristic to have.
Simon, it's been wonderful to hear what you've been doing and all the good work you've been doing within the school. Promise to keep sharing your stories and innovations and with us. It's lovely to speak with you. Thank you very much.
No problem at all. Very nice to speak to you.